You know, and I know they all think, oh, it's not going to get any better. And they're wrong. Yes, it's hard, but it can get better. It can get great again.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Going good, Scott. You know, I was talking to someone this week and they said, Scott didn't sound like he's doing too good. You know, is he doing okay? And I'm like, I don't know. That's Scott. Scott, yeah. How are you doing? Are you doing better than last week? Last week, it was pathetically down.
I am doing better than last week, and I would like to thank Jeffrey Gifford for emailing me. I almost responded, but I figured I'd say something on here, and he was very encouraging. And
all right, good. Yeah, and you have a birthday coming up, right?
I was definitely in the dumps last week, and then my son and I have gotten things patched up. Let's put it that way. So that's good.
Yeah. That's good.
The big thing. Yes, I do have a birthday this year. I was going to say that there are basically only two things we really need to talk about today.
Okay.
The two big events of the week, and neither of them have anything to do with politics or the president or anything like that.
Really?
Number one is my birthday, as you just said. I'm turning 50 this Saturday, so you can send money and presents to, you know. care of the Family Man.
Yeah, no, don't send it to me, then I have to send it on.
Yes.
Send it directly to Scott Moore.
Yes. And, I don't know what we're doing, but anyway, it'll be fun. Because I refuse to not be fun and happy on my birthday. Too many people have told me how they were like depressed for a year before they turned 50, and I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Say, I've been depressed for my whole life.
Yeah. And the other big news, even you must know about this person who died.
Mac Davis?
Actually, that is
Helen Reddy.
Another one. No, Eddie Van Halen died yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
You know who Eddie Van Halen is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So,
but I was not a follower or a fan, but
you know what's, I'm a guitar player, so it's kind of hard not to at least respect and appreciate his influence as a guitarist. He was pretty massive in revolutionizing guitar playing. Much to my chagrin in some ways, because really the people who tried to imitate him fell short, most of them, and sound terrible, and they ended up making lousy heavy metal music. But Eddie was
as
quite
opposed to good heavy metal music.
Well, yeah, but well, yeah. Anyway, but I did, for purposes of this show, I did find it interesting that his son tweeted, I guess, announced about his death and said he was the best dad anyone could ever have.
Really? Wow. Was, yeah. How old was he?
65. He'd been battling throat cancer for years.
Wow.
So yeah, it was not pretty.
I assume he probably didn't have a healthy lifestyle.
No, he was
somewhere in successful years.
That's kind of the interesting thing too, is like people, you know, when someone dies, a celebrity especially, they try and paint their life as if everything was wonderful and they were this larger than life perfect person. But you know, let's be honest here. The guy was about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, maybe rock and roll, sex, and then drugs, or drugs and then sex. I'm not sure which came first, but I mean, he drank and smoked and did all kinds of drugs and all that stuff. So
for many
years.
Yeah.
But apparently he was a good dad too. So who knows?
Huh. Well, that's, I like hearing that.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have anything else to say. Scott's 50 and Eddie Van Halen died. So
and Mac Davis,
you know,
was
Mac Davis died.
I did see that. I had forgotten about that. And that's, that one's a personal one to me. I danced to, the song Watching Scotty Grow that he wrote with my mom at my wedding. for like, you know, the father or the mother son dance, you know. And
oh yeah. Yeah.
Because I was, we saw him at the Ohio State Fair when I was like 3 or something, and apparently I fell asleep on my mom's lap while he was playing that song or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, do you have any reminiscence for Helen Reddy?
No. I had no connection. Barely know who she is.
No.
You met her in a Walmart parking lot once?
No. Pete's Dragon, the original, she was Nora. She was the kind of the star of that.
Ah.
So. Scott, you should have your own, like, you know, a music podcast. You could talk about, you know, songs and from the glory days and musicians, and all you musicians would get together and talk about that stuff.
I've thought about it. It would be fun, but they would inevitably devolve into arguments about who's the best. And
no way. Yeah. He was not the best guitarist, man.
And then we'd want to play music, and then we'd get sued, and, you know, it'd be an ugly ordeal. So.
I see. Well, that was a great lead-in. So you don't have any real 50-year plans yet, like going out for a colonoscopy?
No, not planning on that. Okay, I imagine my doctor will say something about it next time I see him.
You know, it's time to think about that.
Yep.
An old trip up the river.
Thanks for reminding me.
I know, I dreaded it, but it's no big deal after you've done it. You know. So
that's what they all say.
After you've had your first lobotomy, it doesn't really matter after that. So you don't have any plans that you know of?
My wife
was
asking me.
I'm sure they're planning something big, really big.
No, I made it clear I didn't want a party a while back, so we're just gonna hang out as a family, and
that's fun.
Maybe cook out in the backyard, or maybe go to a restaurant. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not gonna have like. And Scott, do you remember this voice? It's my Scotty. I was in third grade. I was a third grade math teacher.
I hope not. That would be
disturbing. I remember when Mac Davis sang this song.
That would be disturbing.
I see. Yeah, that's the best kind. Family's the best kind. Mm. I agree. Well, it's been busy around here. This is a busy week as we get ready to pack in the RV for about a 3-week tour. We're going to be out. I head to St. Louis this Friday. I'm going to speak at a homeschool meeting there. If you're in the area, I'd love to see you. We've got the directions there on our website. You can find that. And then running back home, it's a late drive. We'll take back off on Sunday. And then we have something on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday each night, covering, 1,500 miles in that period of time. And again, you can see our schedule. It's on the email or it's on our website. And if you're in the area, stop in and say, hey, we'll have lots of products that we'd love to unload, get rid of. And so if you're thinking you might get a good deal on something, you will. You don't, of course, have to pay shipping, which is great because I'm not Amazon. I can't give it to you for free. But so this is the week where I started loading up the RV last night. You know, my wife's like, well, why did you wait to the last minute to do this? And I'm like, because that's how life works. You have a whole year and then you panic the last day. Like you're surprised that you never thought about it, I guess.
So, why is that? We do that in our house, too.
I don't know. It's like, you knew you were going to do this all summer long. You've been inside in a pandemic. Hold it. I have sons yelling at me. What? You know, there are just times where you feel like you failed as a father. And you're like, you're what? So on top of this is what they're doing right now. Abra out there. Ike and Carolyn bought the house across the street from us. It's been sitting empty almost the entire time we've lived here, which is 20 years. There's been a guy who's owned it, and he's kind of remodeled, which means nothing. It actually means nothing. But he'd putter on it all summer long, every year for the last 20 years. And he did some amazing things all by himself in this house. Last year it had a dirt floor. This year it does have a concrete floor, but it's down to the studs all the way around. There's no plumbing. There's no electrical. And so I got a super great deal on it. and they just closed last week. And now we're in the process. I don't can't give him lots of time, but his brother has some time and he's giving him some time right now. And we're moving a door and we've got the back part wired up, ready to go. And we're going to put in the insulation. And but then we got to frame up all the other half of the house inside. It's a block kind of walls outside. So it's a big project and, you know, it's getting cooler and their little camper in my yard is going to be freezing really, really soon. So I don't know what they're going to do, but we're slowly taking over the whole town. So if you do a Google search, don't look up Milford, Indiana anymore. Now look up Wilsonville, because as you come into town, the first house on the left is Ben and Rissa's. The second house on the left is mine, and the third house on the right, or the first house on the right, is now Ike and Carolyn. So we've taken over the town.
That's awesome, man.
It is awesome.
Sounds like too much work to me, but
yeah. Oh, it's going to be an incredible amount of work. But right now they're excited, and it feels a little like the Two Stooges. I mean, I should set up a camera in there because it would be worth watching. They're just like slapping at each other and going, no, you know, they grab a door and they're pulling it both ways. So it's quite amusing. Quite amusing.
That's some intense early married bonding time, man, building a house together, basically.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's even better than wallpapering a room together. I assume it's nice and warm down there. Indian summer. Can we say Indian summer anymore,
I'm Scott? Sure you can't, but you can say it on this show.
Okay. Indian summer. Cause I'm still waiting for them to change the name of the state I live in to something else. Not Indy.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that one. I gotta say, while we're on the topic, I really admire the Washington football team.
What are they doing?
Well, it was known as the Washington Redskins. And people have been after them for years to change the name. Yeah. And finally this summer, with, you know, all heck breaking loose, they finally caved and changed the name.
Washington Savages?
No, they literally changed it to the Washington Football Team. You watch a game and they say, and the Washington Football Team has the ball. I mean, it's hilarious because they're like, fine, we can't be called what we've been called all these years and never meant it as a racial thing. Yeah. We'll just be the stupid Washington football team. Deal with that, fans.
Well, that's it. I just, you know, we've got a lot of, my high school was Danville Warriors, and right next to us, the Wabasee Warriors, and they've got a big Indian out there with a headdress on. I don't know how that affects everything, but that's not what we're talking about today, Scott.
Sorry. My birthday. That's it. Send presents.
Send presents. Dig deep.
Yes.
I was at a wedding.
Send money if you want. That's fine. I'm saving up for a really expensive guitar. So,
are you?
Well, yeah, I'm always saving up for.
He's buying Eddie Van Halen's guitar.
No, don't want that one.
Okay.
I'm really not a big Eddie Van Halen fan. I like the hits, but my son made me watch a whole concert of them, and Eddie's style was really revolutionary and all, but there's a lot of noise involved in it, and it's wow. A whole 2 hours of him just going nuts. Exactly. Yeah. It gives me a headache.
I understand.
I must be old.
And to the all non Eddie Van Halen fans, they're like, can you guys move on?
So, nope.
But I was at a wedding this weekend, my nephew's, and you know, weddings are always poignant to me. You know, they tug at your heart, and you know, it's just the beginnings, and you think, man, they don't know what they're getting into and all that. And I've been doing some premarital counseling with another nephew who's getting married just in a couple of weeks to a family man's daughter down in Florida. And we've just been, you know, talking, because I truly believe all their premarital counseling started when they were born, and their parents have been doing it ever since. And so they're prepared. You know, they are prepared. You just like your kids are prepared. Do they know everything? No. Will they have struggles? Yes. But we've been going through a book right now called The Meaning of Marriage by Timothy Keller. And it's a pretty good book. It's okay. but I don't want Timothy to hate sending me hate mail. But he had a, he had this one passage or this one thing in the book that I'm just going to read because it was so good. It's called Loving a Stranger. He says, let's recall the point made by Stanley Hauerwas. And I'm just going to read it here. He says, we never know whom we marry. We just think we do. Or even if we first marry the right person, just give it a while and he or she will change. For marriage, being the enormous thing it is, means we are not the same person after we have entered it. The primary problem is learning how to love and care for the stranger to whom you yourself married. Hauerwas's realism rings true to people who have been married for a long time. That's us, Scott.
Yep.
Marriage changes us. Having children changes us. A career switch changes us. Age changes us. Turning 50 discombobulates you.
Yeah.
On top of everything else, marriage brings out and reveals traits in you that were there all along, but were hidden from everyone, including you. But now they are seen by all, by your spouse. Most people enter marriage through the in love experience, and at its peak, it is euphoric. Two people can become almost obsessed with each other. Marriage counselor and author Gary Chapman argues that the in love phase, which you believe usually lasts months or several months to 2 years, includes the illusion that the beloved is perfect in every aspect that matters. Describing one of his counselees, Jen, he writes, her best friend could see the flaws in her fiance. It bothers her how he talks to Jen sometimes, but Jen won't listen. Her mother, noticing a young man seems unable to hold a steady job, keeps her concerns to herself, but asks polite questions about Ryan's plans. Chapman goes on to describe it. Of course, we're not totally naive. We know intellectually that we will eventually have differences, but we are certain that we will quickly reach agreement. We are caught up in the beauty and charm of the other's personality. Our love is the most wonderful thing we have ever experienced. We observe that some married couples seem to have lost that feeling, but it will never happen to us. Maybe they didn't have the real thing, they reason. The in-love experience passes when the flaws in the other person come home to us. Things that seem small and inconsequential now loom large. We begin to feel that we did not really know the person after all. And this presents us with the challenge of loving a person who at the moment seems in large part a stranger, not the person you remember marrying. When this happens, people respond in a number of different ways. If your purpose in marriage was to acquire a soulmate, a person who would not change you and would supportively help you reach your life's goals, then this particular reality of marriage will be deeply disorientating. You wake up to the realization that your marriage will take a huge investment of time just to make it work. Just as distressing will be the discovery that your spouse finds you a stranger and has begun to confront you with a list of serious shortcomings. Your first response will be to tell yourself you made a bad choice and failed to find someone truly compatible. What if, however, you began your marriage understanding its purpose as spiritual friendship for the journey to new creation? What if you expected marriage to be about helping each other grow out of your sins and flaws into the new self God is creating? Then you will actually be expecting the stranger's seasons. And when you come to one, you will roll up your sleeves and get to work. And, you know, I mean, when you're talking to a couple that's just about to be married, I mean, they're kind of like that. But, you know, after you've been married a while, I mean, you find that to be true, you know, that the person you married and the person you are is not the person that you got married to in the first place. And I'm not even going to pretend like I'm going to try to solve that for you, Dad, because I know you're feeling it. Because I talk to dads and husbands all the time. I talk to wives and they all say the same thing. You know, I just don't know why he would be this way. When is he ever going to change? When is she ever going to change? I've gotten just a couple emails this week of husbands who are heartbroken because their wives have changed and hardened their hearts and they're acting funny, weird, you know, and saying, I don't love you and all these things. And it is heartbreaking, heartbreaking. But I do want to encourage you, Dad, that maybe you're feeling that way, to do like that last little sentence, to roll up your sleeves and get to work. You know, your job is to love your wife. And even though your wife may not be the same that she was, the marching orders are the same. You know, we don't have the luxury of just sitting back and saying, well, you know, something's changed. I don't know. We'll never get it back. You're not going to get it back, but you can get something new. You can love your wife just the way she is. Maybe she's not as fun as she once was. Maybe she's a little more serious, or maybe she's whatever. You know, your job, Dad, is to love her. because, again, the stakes are so high. I hate going to a wedding and, you know, when the bride is walked down the aisle, the father and the mother, you know, they're not together anymore. And it's heartbreaking. My sister has just gone through this right now, that her husband has walked away, and it is heartbreaking. You know, and I know they all think, oh, it's not going to get any better. And they're wrong. Yes, it's hard, but it can get better. It can get great again. That sounds like a presidential motto, but it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. Let me just say too, Dad, that if you found yourself, and we're running a little short of time because of the Eddie Van Halen thing, but if you found yourself like dads I've talked to who have been pushed out of a marriage, cut out of a marriage, even though they don't want to be, you're still the dad. You're still the dad. You have a job to do, you know. And I know sometimes it would be easy to think, well, if she don't want me in our lives anymore, fine, I won't. Your children need you. They need you in a special way right now. You can't pretend like it hasn't happened. And if you're at fault, you may have to take some huge lumps. I've got emails coming from several dads whose children, older children, are not speaking to them because they failed. They made a mistake, huge mistake. They're trying to put it back together, but there are consequences. You don't have the luxury, again, of stopping. And you might get your feelings hurt and they may block your phone calls. But like I was talking to one dad and he was like, I said, just keep calling, you know? And he said, you know, she can block my calls and she can't hear me, but I can leave a voicemail. And so he'll call and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I love you. I won't give up. And that's it. You know, and he doesn't know if she listens to him, but I think her children want us to never, ever give up on them. Now, you may not be. You may be. Everything may be going great. And Dad, it's still easy to give up on your kids. You know, maybe you have a hard kid that's just, you know, makes every interaction hard. Don't give up. You keep loving. Because, again, that one day when you're walking them down the aisle, you want it to be a good thing, not just a pasted over picture that you have to put on a big smile and pretend like everything's normal when everything is not normal. Oh, here come my two sons again. It could get ugly. It could get loud again here in a minute. But hey, we're almost out of time, and we're going to make it out of time before they make it in these doors. I want to thank you, dads, for listening. I want to thank you for the big part you play in both Scott and I's lives. You know, it's a big deal to be 50 years old, and Scott, I hope you have a great celebration with your family. And man, that is the, you know, being able to celebrate with your family is success. You have succeeded. You may not feel like it, dads, but man, you're the richest man in town. So have a great week. If you need to get back engaged, get engaged, not like engaged to somebody else, but you know, but be engaged with your wife. She may have been pushing you away and she may be acting weird. Do something, one thing, loving for your wife, you know, not because you expect something back, but just because you're the husband, because that's what husbands do. We love our wives. We love our children unconditionally. Do it because you did, Dad. Hey, one more thing, Scott, I forgot to say, for the next 3 weeks, since I am going to be on the road, in the past, we've pre-recorded things and we've tried to do it over the phone, and that's always hard. I feel it's stressful to me. So we're just going to do some pre-recorded things, because if you are a follower at all, you remember that we were kind of forced to make some changes, and Scott deleted everything from our archives. Yeah. But we do still have them on Scott's hard drive. And so I've asked Scott to maybe pull some of those good ones and let those roll for the next 3 weeks. And then I'll be back in a month. Can you believe that? At the beginning of November, and I'll have some new news, and we'll talk then. Again, thanks for being my friend. And if you remember to pray for us as we're traveling, I sure appreciate that. I always get a little nervous. And as I get older, Scott, you'll find this out now that you're 50. So some of those things that used to not seem to bother you, they seem to bother you a little more, bother me a little more. And so if you pray for us while we're on the road, I sure appreciate it. We'll talk to you on the other side.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.
That'll be great news for my wife, that I'll be bothered more than I am already.